Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 praise the Lord. Today is the mighty, mighty Monday. And tonight's the night that we have believed that the sons of God will be on the radio tonight with a great word of God. And I will say to you, to those of you, please take your time to hear what God has to say. Please take your time to hear what they got to say. Because they're great teachers. They're sons of God, as we are sons of God. And to those who have received him, God, let them become sons of God. And I can say there's so much has been going on, but we who stand in the way of being blessed and stand in righteousness, God is always there for us. I want you to know something like that. As we come on there, we want to thank God for everything he has done for us and everything God's going to do to us, what God has already done. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word of God became flesh. So the more we trust God, the more we believe him, the more we can do what God is called to do. Praise his holy name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight's a night that I believe that if we stay together, we're going to make it together. And as we all come to a point, we can teach and believe. And so, Sonia, you're on there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Father, we give you the glory this evening, Lord God, and we come boldly to your throne of grace, thanking and praising you, for this is the day that you have made. You've made this time available for us, and we just give you the praise, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Lord God, through us, through this radio station.
Amen.
Through all that. Father, we just say not our will be done, but let your will be done.
Praise
and Father,
praise.
For you to give your word this evening, and we just surrender all to you in Jesus' name. We thank you in advance for it. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start tonight, if you have your Bible, with Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and 28. But Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Thank you, Lord, for that. There's an easy to read version that says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from the heavy burden, and you have been that you have been forced to carry. I will give you rest." Verse 20. "I teach you, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teachings that I ask you to accept is easy, and the load I give to carry is light." Amen. I want to read that amplified version of this too. Verse 28 in Amplified said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and a recreation and blessed quiet for your souls." For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to bear. Amen.
Amen.
A beautiful word. Amen. This is a beautiful word tonight. And we just thank the Lord for it. We're just breaking it down. Come unto me, all ye that labor. That's the action that we are required in this verse tonight to take, is to come to Jesus. Amen. He's asking us to come to him. You know, everybody's not going to come, but this word is for whoever's listening tonight. If you have an ear to hear, this is what Jesus is calling us to do, to come unto him. And it says, all ye that labor, this word labor is to work hard, to toil, to be weary. You know, when we labor with stuff, you know, there's a lot of things going on today. As we read the news, as we hear the news in our family, as we experience a lot of things going on.
Keep preaching, you know, be right back. Keep preaching.
Labor, we're going through different things, personal, in our communities, in the government, in this world, there's all kind of things going on. And this is the labor, but Jesus is telling us tonight is to come unto him. That's the action that he's asking us to do. In the midst of all circumstances and what's going on in life, he's asking us to come unto him. Amen. And I just take it personal. I think every time I get on this radio, it's a personal word for me tonight. To come unto him. And what his response is to us when we do that action of coming unto him is he's giving us rest. Amen. I know I need to rest. I don't know about everybody on the radio. Y'all might have your stuff together, but you know what? I need that rest. And just to talk about this, he said, come unto me. This is just the action that Jesus wants us to take, as it comes. And he's saying, all you that labor, that work hard, that toil, that are weary, that are just strung out, you know, that are and heavy laden. You know, that heavy laden is like being loaded up. Like you know how they load trucks up and load ships up and load animals up with a burden. You know, they call the donkey a beast of burden all the time. But, you know, that's what the world is doing to us. That's what these situations and circumstances are doing. They're loading us up. They're loading us up with burdens. People that are, you know, that situations that we're coming into where people hurt our feelings or we're being disappointed. We're being loaded up with bitterness, being loaded up with unforgiveness. You know, the enemy loads us up with things because he operates through different folks. You know, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood here, but we're wrestling with the spiritual. So as these spirits are operating through people, people are hurting our feelings, we're getting disappointed with situations. You know, this world, even in the church, we're being loaded up. You know, sometimes if it's not led by the Spirit, it's led by a religious spirit, which loads us up with duties and details to take care of. So this is the laboring and the heavy laden. So, you know, that's what Jesus is saying. You know what? Even though these situations and circumstances are loading us up, we don't have to carry these loads. Amen? Amen. And that is where we make the mistake at, is not coming unto Jesus. Jesus has an answer to all the situations in life, and he's telling us tonight to come unto him. All you that labor, that are working hard trying to get through these situations, working hard on these marriages and working hard on these relationships and heavy laden with situations and circumstances going on in your marriages and relationships and families and children, you know, laboring and heavy laden, trying to do the right thing when the wrong thing is being done to you, trying to act godly and Christ-like when unchristlike and ungodly things are happening to you and through people around you, towards you. He's saying, come unto me. Ye that labor and are heavy laden. And his answer to all this is that I will give you rest. That is Jesus speaking. That is Jesus speaking to us tonight, church. And to the people that are born again, I say to the church, and the people that are on the station that are not born again, I say to you know what? You can come to Jesus tonight and bring these heavy burdens. Because he's told us to come unto him, all ye that labor, that are working hard, toiling, that are weary, that are strung out. You know, that's what the Strong Concordance tells us that word labor means. You're just strung out. You can come to Jesus tonight, the heavy laden, loaded up with these situations or circumstances, overburdened with these anxieties of the world and of the church, even of the church. You know, if it's not Holy Spirit led, it's some other spirit led. So, you know, if you're heavy laden, if you're laboring tonight, you don't have to continue like that. He said, I will give you rest. And the word rest, I just focused on that tonight, to refresh and take and to give you ease, to ease this situation, because he's still with us. You know, this rest is where we should be as people of God. He said, I will give you rest. He said, I will give you rest. And this rest means a cessation. The cessation, that means stop. Cessation of motion or action or any kind and applicable any body or being. It applies to all of us. He will give us this rest. As the, you know, rest
Amen.
Of the body, and a body is at rest when it ceases to move. So he's telling us he's going to give us this rest where we don't have to toil and fight and struggle with these labors and heavy and continue to be heavy laden. We don't have to continue our life like that, you know. And this is a beautiful thing because we need this. You know, this is where this stress of life come from. This is where people get stressed out to the point where they can't take it no more. He said, no, come on to me. That's Jesus calling us tonight.
Yeah.
We can all this laboring and all this toiling and being wearied and just strung out and just can't figure it out. He said, I got you. Come unto me. So we need to bring all these things to Jesus. Because in the Gospels, it also says, take no thought for your life. He's always telling us to cast our care for him, or he care for us. This is always in the Word. But this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're loaded down with problems. You're loaded down with situations and circumstances. You don't know the answer. And you can't figure it out. He said, come to me, and I will give you this. And, you know, I like one of the definitions I saw earlier of this rest, and it means that you're right, that you are holding this thing with faith of God. Whatever the thing is, whether it's a problem, a situation, or circumstances, you can rest because you trust in God. And that's what Jesus is telling us tonight. Come unto me. Bring this to me. And our rest is in the Lord. That's where our rest is. And you know, when we read the headlines, we see all these situations. Every day there's something going wrong in the news. There's something that people are talking to you about that's wrong. There's something in your family that's wrong. There's something all over this world that's wrong.
My God.
And Jesus is saying, come unto me.
Come unto me.
All that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know what? I was talking to a mother today, and she was telling me, you know, our problem is we don't want to let go. We think we can fix it. And we've got the solution right here on this radio station. I'm sure that when I'm not on here and when I am on here, that the gospel is being preached 7 days a week, 24/7. And this is the solution. Every word that's on this radio station from the word of God, from the mouth of God, is your solution. The Bible says, come unto me. This is Jesus talking. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you're just struggling. You out here dealing with the situations of life. That's all it is. Everybody's going through the same stuff. We all got the same, you know, we all got these situations of life going on. And Jesus is saying, the way you deal with it is to come to me. And he says, I have rest for you.
You know, hey!
We have to trust him for that. We have to believe him for that. And we have to agree with him for that. And no matter what it looks like, when you come to receive this rest that he has to give, you have to trust and believe him. And you've got to wait on it. We're going to continue this. But I know it's going to be a long study, but I'm not letting it go because I need to be able to release it too.
Amen. Ooh, Jesus.
You need to wait. We've got to wait on him. You know, and that's some things that God asks us to do, because the bottom line is, it's not about your plan. It's not about your purpose. You know, it is about when you come under Jesus, it's about his plan and his purpose. See, his plan for us is to give us rest. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that I know the plans I have for you. It requires us to surrender. It requires us to surrender and to let it go. And when you cast your care, you got to let it go. You can't cast it out there and then pull it back in. And when you come to Jesus, you can't lay it down and pick it back up. You got to let it go with him. You got to listen to him, and then you got to follow him. And it says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. He's saying that he's going to make this happen. There's no other way that you're going to find this rest in this world but through Jesus Christ. And then take the next step. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is a different method than you'll see in these self-help books, because they'll start telling you how you need to do this to get fixed and how you need to do that and the steps you need to take. Well, what Jesus is telling us is one step: take my yoke upon you.
That's
and
it.
Learn of.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
That's what he says. And see, we've got to, you know, you make a decision every time you come to this word, whether you know it or not. When you hear it, if you don't do it, that's a decision. And if you do it, that's a decision too. But he's saying, "Come unto me." And then he's saying, take my yoke. That's our next action. First to come, the next one to take. And he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hello? Okay, I don't know if I'm still on, but I'm gonna keep going. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. And see, that word souls means that your mind, your will, and your emotion. And you know, a lot of people are looking for rest in their mind and emotion and in their will. They're looking for rest like that. Never find it because they're not looking at the right place for the rest. The only rest there is in this world is Jesus Christ. The only rest for our life is Jesus. And he says we will find this rest for our minds. Because, see, the battlefield is in the mind. That's where the war is being waged because in Corinthians it says, you know, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When they talk about a weapon, it's not just talking about, you know, this is not something you play with. This is serious. When you start talking about weapons, you know, this is, and that's what it's saying in 2 Corinthians verse 10 here. Hello? 2 Corinthians verse 10 and 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This right here is talking about the mind.
Yeah.
There's a war in the mind. And coming back to the scripture tonight, and he says that ye shall find rest unto your souls. And the definition of the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion.
Amen.
You gonna rest in your mind. You have peace in your mind. Mind, will, and emotion. Then ye shall find rest for your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions. There's a lot of stuff going on in there, in our mind, in our will, and our emotions. And every day, people going off. It started with a thought in their mind that they didn't deal with. But he's telling us, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen?
Amen.
That's a blessing right there. Because you know what they always talk about? Peace of mind. You always hear that. Well, here's the real peace of mind right here. When Jesus gives us rest unto our souls, that's the real peace of mind. The last scripture I want to go over, because I'm just noticing the time tonight, and I don't want to be disobedient in that area, is Hebrews. Go over Hebrews, chapter 4. Still on that rest. I'll be on this rest for a while here. Hebrews chapter 4. Starting with verse 1, he said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And in this verse, it's talking about ceasing to persevere in faith and in the obedience to Jesus results in the failure to reach the eternal promise, rest in heaven. You know that we don't want to miss that. Church, this is something we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss entering into his rest. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We're talking this believing and this faith is the thing that will have us missing the rest of God. Having faith in what God is telling us and believing the word. Verse 3 says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Amen. Enter into the rest only he who have believed the saving message of Christ enters God's spiritual rest. Christ takes our burdens and sins and gives us the rest of his forgiveness, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And verse 4 says that, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached should not in because of unbelief. That's the problem right there. That unbelief in what Jesus is asking us to do is what caused all the downfalls. But see, he's called us tonight to come unto him. And the word of God is saying, all ye, I'm back on Matthew 11 now, all ye that labor, not heavy laden, I will give you rest. And he's saying, take my upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, this is a gracious invitation from Jesus for all of us to come to him who labor and are heavy laden with the troubles of life and the sin of our own human nature. By coming to Jesus, becoming his servant, and obeying his direction, he will free us from insurmountable burdens and give us rest, peace, and Holy Spirit to lead us through life. If anybody's on tonight that needs that rest, we are here to pray with you. We are here to support you. We're here to disciple you. We're here to redeem with you. If there's anybody here that needs that rest tonight, because, you know, the bottom line is there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, anything that you may be going through, dealing with tonight, we need to come unto Jesus. And we need to stop toiling and travailing and working and stressing ourselves out with these situations and circumstances. And we need to bring it to the true solution. And when I say the true solution, I mean bring it to where it can be solved. Bring it where the problem can be dealt with correctly and for good. You know, we got all these Band-Aid fixes in the world. We got all these, you know, the counterfeits in the world that just, you know, that looks like and smells like, but it's not it. The true peace and the true rest of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you got to do tonight is come unto him. All you got to do is to take his yoke upon you. Take what he's done for you. He was bruised for your he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth of him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And
praise God.
This is about us coming. Come as you come unto me, Jesus said. And he said, take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. Is there anybody tonight that wants to receive the rest of God?
Amen. Well, I want you to continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for me, and I for you, and I for you. Because what God is doing, come unto me. Not just one, all of you that labor and take his yoke. His yoke, his burdens are light, his understanding is excellent. So I just say, praise the living God. Praise the living God. And all we got to do is praise God And we got another person finna come on air with us right now, and she's gonna bring us the word. Sister, I call her Princess Royal, a Royal Love. I'll use her last name, but she has something to say to us, I want you to just give us a word from the Lord, and we just want to thank God. Go right ahead.
Good evening, people and saints and everybody in the world that's listening. We've come entering into his gates with praise and thanksgiving and adoration and exaltation, highly giving God, the Almighty, the I Am, the Lord God, all the praise that is due him. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come thanking you and praising you for your goodness, for your long-suffering, for your mercy, and for being God all by yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to be on the air, this opportunity to speak your word and to encourage and to lift up and to exalt you, Lord. And that men might learn how to walk in power and in the might that you have given us. That being sanctified through your word has sanctified us and set us apart, Lord. We thank you, Father, for Jesus sending the Holy Spirit back to be indwelled in, to indwell us. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us for our sins. With our mouths, with our minds, with our ears, with our hearts, things that we pondered on that wasn't of you. Anything in any way, any form or fashion, Father, that we've done that's unpleasing to you, we ask you to forgive us. And we forgive anyone who's done any of those things to us, Lord. We don't hold any bitterness or anything against anyone. We thank you, Father, for giving us strength to go through the process, those of us who have been hurt, those of us who have been tormented or been in fear or in anguish or anxious. We ask you, Father, to teach us to be mindful that your words say, cast your cares upon you, for you care for us. We thank you, Todorante. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. We thank you, Lord, that your word is able to make our enemies our footstool. We thank you, Lord, that your word say that if you be for us, you are more than the whole world against us. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us kings and priests and heirs and joint heirs, that we are the sons of the living God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you because you are our God, and there is none like you nowhere in this. Nowhere in all the atmosphere, God. We thank you that we know you, Lord, that you sent your son and you became our sacrifice. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for mercy, Lord, and for grace, unmerited favor that we don't deserve a minute of. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to keep trying and trying and trying and trying. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us righteous. You have made us to be fellow heirs and joint heirs of the living God, and that we have been set apart and made saints. Not because we're so good, but because you're so good, Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Father, for this day that we never saw before, and that you was merciful enough to keep us safe in our beds and in our homes and in our on our travels and our back and forth to work, on the highways, on the byways. Those of us who are sick and shut in, we thank you, Father, that there's hope. There is hope. You are a healer, Lord. Your words say you sent your word and you healed them, Lord. Your words say you healeth all of our diseases.
Yes,
Your words say, Lord, that you are life, and in you we live and move and have our being. Father, your word is good, good, good. It is better than the best food we could eat. It is better than the highest mountain we could be on. It is better than anything our little peanut brains could imagine. We thank you, Lord, for being God all by yourself this evening. And I thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that every word I say that is the word, that the Holy Spirit will usher it to the men and women and children and youth and older people too, Lord. We got a lot of old people out there that need you, Lord. We got a whole bunch of old people that need to come to the Lord, who's still jigging, still popping, who's still living in sin, Lord, who have not realized that the time and the days are short, Lord. In senior citizen apartments, in senior citizen, they are busy still committing adultery and fornication and just going about as if they're going to live another 100 years. But, Lord, we ask you for mercy tonight. Mercy not only for the youth, which is the children of tomorrow, but for the seniors that you have managed to let live a long time who have not come to you, Lord. I'm asking you to bring them in, Lord, because your words say no man can come except the Father in heaven draw. And with love and kindness, your words say, have you drawn us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is God to turn on that time. It is truly good to our souls, Lord. It is evil. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you. And I just want to come to you tonight thanking everyone that's out there, thanking Dr. Hunter for all his toils that he goes through to keep this radio afloat. And it bears on his soul. I thank you, God, that you have given him this here assignment. I thank you, Lord, that you gave it to him. But please, Lord, make all the rest of us faithful to do our assignment. We're here but a minute, just a short time, and Lord, we know that we want to do what, like Jesus said, he had this testimony, he always pleased the Father. Hallelujah. He always pleased the Father. I was torn between two books tonight. I love the Word of God so much. I do want to come from to you from Galatians tonight. Again. Oh, yes, again. I do want to urge everyone out there for about 3 minutes that we are up on election. And soon to be upon the presidential election coming up, and that we have those who vote and those who don't vote, those who complain and those who don't complain. But if you don't vote, you don't have you have the right, I guess, because you can make it your right. But we would urge you to vote. To really get out there and be a part of the community. Do your little part. Try and be a light in the darkness. We know politics is not a beautiful thing, but it can be with prayer and supplication and making our requests known to the Most High God. God can make our enemies our footstools, people. So I'm asking you to trust God. Don't trust man. Trust God. I want to apologize if there's any way I've given anybody the impression that for 1 minute that I want you to seek after miracles or seek after things or seek after fame or glory or any of the things that this world has. I want to make it sure that you understand me solidly. My feet are sealed in concrete. I want you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, because I do believe with every ounce of my being, Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Don't seek miracles. Don't seek the signs. Don't seek prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't never want it misunderstood that I urged anyone to seek something other than Jesus, because I promise you, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And the Bible say all that came before him were thieves and robbers. If you ain't coming by Jesus, you are definitely headed in the wrong direction. The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe in Jesus. Not that you just believe. You believe in Jesus. These are, that's something like your reasonable expectation by just believing. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. We must believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Must remember, I have taught that there is no other way. I have also taught that Jesus Christ said that he is the I am. I am. Matter of fact, I wanna read you something about the I ams right quick, so you'll try and get a solid understanding of who you are. If you have given your life to Christ, and that means you have walked through that door, that door of eternal life, you've entered into eternal life. You are a spiritual being now. You have been made. We are all spiritual beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. You must remember that you have been translated. In some, in the new movies that you can go see, you can see where they're in one spot and they be translated to another spot. Well, way before they made movies, God was doing it. Way before he even wrote the God was translating people way before that. So it's amazing how man's mind is so miraculous that he can invent and build and conjure up all these things, but yet never, the Bible say, ever learning and never coming to the full knowledge of the truth. The full knowledge of the truth is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to read to you, he is the I am.
Amen.
I am, and he has made us his servants by his blood, by his love that he shed for us. He is, I lost the page that I was.
There we go. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. From the rising to the setting, he's still God. There's none like him. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, the God that we serve. And one of the things that we say, as she was teaching before, she gonna come back, the line drop, she'll get back. One of the things that I've been studying and believing God in the word, and I've been in the book, hallelujah, she's back on right now. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Amen. And you know one thing that I've come to know, that I found out what God is doing? God is doing something. Amen. And it's, and see, when you take notice, and I would just like to, she's back. Hello. Hallelujah.
Yes, we got disconnected. I'm up there. Praise God. The devil is
I don't
a
know
liar.
What happened. Sometimes the line just dropped.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll tell you, the devil is a liar, and he's already defeated. We already got the victory. Yes, Lord. And so I come, Father, I stand in agreement with your word, and I call in every good thing you have for me and for all the body of Christ. I am abundantly provided for in my finances, Philippians 4:19. Supernaturally healed and whole in my body, Jeremiah 17:14. I am a new creation.
I am anointed,
a new creation in my ministry, Joel 2:28. I am divinely favored at my work and in whatever I put my hands to do. Psalms 5:12. I am renewed with passion in my though this is for people who have a marriage. I am married to the Most High God, and relationships. Genesis 2:24. And finally, I am filled with wisdom for all my decisions. James 1:5. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Romans 4:17. And most of the time we pronounce it as calling those things to be not as if they were. And that's what we do. And that's why I wanted to come to you tonight with old foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evident, set forth, crucified among you? Who? This is a question I'm asking. This is a question. Galatians 5:1. I urge everybody out there, listen carefully. Examine your heart. See if you be in the faith. See if you be in Christ. Capital CHRIST, because there are many, many, many deceivers that have entered into the world, and they are getting good, brother. I'm here to tell y'all, there's some good deceivers out here. It sounds so good, it looks so good, and you'll think it's good, but it's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't let nobody deceive you. I say this as Paul said, one scripture in Corinthians, with weeping in his eyes, because he said, I know when I leave, grievous wolves shall come in, and they are here. They are already here. And I'm here doing the same call by the word of Paul. Don't let nobody deceive you. Examine. Don't matter if they don't want to be questioned. Ask questions. Ask them. Show me. You said that the sky is blue. Show me in the Word. Make them prove it to you. Oh, foolish Galatians, because they was being foolish. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only, verse 2, would I learn of you. Receive Jesus' Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you get the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of law? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Now this is why Paul was crying so in Galatians 5:1. Doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, yeah, as I just told you, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, just by believing God. Now, that seems so simple, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
It seems so simple that just because I believe God, that's going to make me righteous? I mean, that I tell you, there's a scripture in Matthew, say, my way is so simple that a fool cannot stumble and somebody else can err. I don't have my finger on the word, but it's telling you that it's just simple. It's simple, but only the wise in heart can receive it, because we want to make it complicated. We want to make it a long, drawn-out procedure. We want to make it seem like that just don't make sense. I mean, why would God make me righteous? Why would God accept me as being righteous just because I believe in him? Why? So but the Galatians couldn't understand this. And that today, this day, in 2015, you got a whole, I'm not talking to sinners out there. I'm talking to people who go to church, talking to people who pray every day, talking to people who believe God. Yet they have been bewitched and deceived because they refuse to believe that it is finished. That's the word. It is. This is one of my philosophies, people. Don't ask, what would Jesus do? Ask, what did Jesus do? Because what he did settled it. Not what would he do, because that's a hope and a dream. He already proved what he would do, because he did what he did. So what did Jesus do? We must do what Jesus did. We must follow what Jesus said do. Not, we can't die on the cross again except to crucify ourselves and die to our flesh. Yes, yes, yes. Crucify our flesh. Yes, man. Yes, sir. That is a must. But not what would Jesus do. Jesus walked this earth with sinners, publicans, and all those. He came not to seek the righteous, but came to seek those that was lost. Came to seek and save that which was lost. And I was one of them. I was one of them, lost. But now I'm saved. And if you don't know what saved means, people, you don't know what saved means. That means I have a place in eternity with the living God. I didn't know before I got saved that I was lost. I was lost. It wasn't until I came unto the mercy seat of Christ and discovered that I was a wretch undone. But praise be to God who drew me by his love and filled me with it, washed me with his blood. I am now saved. I am going to heaven. If I should die the next day, immediately, I'm going to be with the Lord. But what will it be for me? Will I be a great evangelist in heaven? Will I be a great prophet in heaven? Will I be great or anything in heaven? I'd be glad just to be in heaven, to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't deserve heaven, but because of the blood of Jesus, I'm so grateful I'm going to heaven. But to be great in heaven, as Jesus told them to that young man that asked if could his son sit on the right side and the left side, he said that is not his spot to give. So I'm not trying to make any great accolades for myself. I'm just going to be, the Bible does truly say, if the righteous scarcely going to make it in. And God knows I'm scarce. I'm one of them that's going to probably scarcely make it in. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. Attitude of gratitude. I'm grateful that I'm alive to repent another day. I'm grateful that I'm alive to see the joy and the goodness of God. I'm grateful. But I'm not deceived. I am not deceived. And that is great. You're not deceived because you have an ear to hear. The Bible says, blessed is he that has ears to hear. That's talking about your spiritual ear, your spiritual eyes. Blessed are you. Oh, glory to God. Verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Oh my God, my eyesight. Unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations, and that's talking about you and me, all nations, not just Jews, people, not just Jews, but all nations be blessed. That's a verse you need to meditate on. Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 8 so far. All nations shall be blessed. Praise be God. And so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. Listen to this very careful. Verse 10. Under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And you know the law had 630 laws.
640.
Right. But the new law and the New Testament teaches in Romans that the new commandments are written in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is a convictor of when I tell you a lie. It's convictor of when I say something wrong about you or do something or show a bad attitude toward you. I'm convicted under those things. Praise be to God. Glory to God. That this is the new law because Hebrews say, I will be their God and they shall be my people, and I will put my laws in their hearts and they shall follow me. That's who I'm asking you to follow. Christ. Follow Christ. Seek Christ on your knees, as you're riding down the street. Seek Christ. Make it plain to the Father, God Almighty, that you want to know his Son in the power of the transition of your soul. You want to be pleasing to the Father. There's no way we can please the Father except in Christ. Okay? I hope you understand this. In Christ. This is that's the two most powerful words you'll ever hear in your life. In Christ. I have everything. You have everything. So that verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just. The just. Shall live by faith. The just. I say I'm a just woman. I say I've been made righteous. I have to live by faith. And believe me, God has prepared me to live by faith, to walk by faith. And he will you too. It's not That's what the Holy Spirit does. It comes, it leads us, it guides us in the bad times, in the good times, in the painful times, in the rejoicing times. It teaches you. Everything God calls you to do, he will prepare you for it. And so the just shall live by faith. It's a journey. It is a journey. Once you get on this road, this journey road, you will learn to walk by faith. Oh, yeah, you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. But praise be to God, my time is up. But I want to ask you to remember Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 10. It was through 11. The just shall live by faith, and may you be blessed until the next time. In Jesus, God bless.
Amen. Praise the living God, from whom all blessings flow. And one of the things I say to God is the glory. The more we look at him, he is so supernatural. He is so abundant. He is all that he said he is. And I was just putting something on Facebook just a few minutes ago. He said, I am that I am that I am. I said, amen, amen, amen. Some of these right there, hallelujah. God has brought on, we have the evangelist, Latrice, are you there?
Amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
All right. How everybody else doing?
Great. Great.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to start off with prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the word that came forth, Father God. Help us to live by faith, Father God. We ask that as you continue to teach us on tonight, Father God, that you open our ears, our hearts to receive what you're saying, and to teach us everything you want us to learn on tonight. We cover each person under the precious blood of Jesus, Father God. We ask that your angels stay in camp around us, Father God, and that you will have your way on this line. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide and teach us on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week we discussed about Psalms 103, remembering to, you know, bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. And another benefit, we have so many benefits, but another benefit or benefits that he put on my heart to teach about was the fruit of the Spirit. So I would be starting the fruit of the Spirit this week, and then I'm going to go for it as the Holy Spirit lead me until I finish all of them. So it reminds me of Ephesians 1:13, which talks about how we have heard the truth, which is the good news that God saves us through Jesus Christ. We believe in Christ, and he identified us as his own by giving us the Holy Spirit. So when we receive Jesus Christ, we also receive the Holy Spirit, as God has promised us. So when we are, so because we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us on a day-to-day basis. So now that we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a certain way that we should be living, and that's by the Spirit. And I'm going to start at Galatians 5:16, which says, so I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. Wow. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thought, eagerness for lustful pleasures, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, The feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our life, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. If we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. I read Galatians 5:16-24. And the first part talks about how there are two forces that are constantly at war within us, which is our sinful nature, which is our flesh, and the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus Christ, remember that we receive the Holy Spirit. So we have two forces that are within us pretty much in conflict with each other. And our choices are never free from that conflict. So on a day-to-day basis, we are constantly fighting against the Holy Spirit and the flesh, are constantly fighting against each other for us to make choices that are pleasing unto God. And you know, in our flesh is our sinful nature, so there's no good thing in our flesh. It hates everything in reference to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't want to do anything that the Holy Spirit desires, which is God, desires for us to do. It almost reminds me how Paul said in Romans 7 that, you know, the very things that he wants to do, and I'm paraphrasing, the very things that he wants to do, he don't. And the things he should do, he shouldn't do, he does. Meaning, the very thing his heart desires, like he desires to do right. He desires to be righteous. And so many of us, you know, that's living for Christ and desire to live a righteous life. We desire to make good choices on a day-to-day basis. But we end up doing opposite of what we desire to do because of that sinful nature that we live, that we have, that lives in us. And it's always going in conflict with the Holy Spirit. It's like hard to make good choices. That's why we have to constantly submit to the Holy Spirit and constantly ask God to guide us and lead us by His Holy Spirit. Because the flesh loves evil, which is opposite from the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of the sinful nature. But when we are directed by the Holy Spirit, we no longer are subject to the law, which is a law which is talked about in the Old Testament, which was used back in the history, for people to be aware of their sin, you know, their transgressions, to know that they were in sin so they can turn from it. But we no longer live by the law. Because of Jesus Christ came, we live by grace. So now that we have Christ living in us, we are led by the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, which is Jesus Christ. When we are led by our sinful nature, our lives produce those evil results mentioned in 19-21 and so many more of them. And the Lord says that if we are living by those desires, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we have to examine ourselves, and we have to constantly submit to God and ask God to help us to live a righteous life and to fight against those fleshly thoughts and fleshly actions that we constantly, like bad habits or things that we know that we're not supposed to be doing, yet we still do it because it's our flesh, and it's our sinful nature. We were born with this sinful nature. But when we received Jesus Christ, we were cleansed, but we still have to fight day to day to be led by the Holy Spirit, to submit to the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't, our flesh would take over, and that brings evil into our lives. And in 22, it talks about when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, we produce this kind of fruit in us, which is the joy, the love, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. And in 24, it talks about how, because we belong to Jesus Christ, we have crucified our desires and our passions and our sinful nature to His cross. So that day that He was put on the cross and took our sins, everything that we do on a day-to-day basis, we have to nail it to the cross and give it to God for God to heal us, you know, to set us free from every sinful thing. Yes, we do make mistakes, and grace is sufficient for that. But when we deliberately do it, that's not how we should live. If we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit leading in every part of our life. And like I said, this is a day-to-day battle that we must go day-to-day and not give up on. And we must ask the Holy Spirit to lead us consistently so we don't fall into the flesh and do fleshly things. We must examine ourselves and renew our mind daily to submit to the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to lead us, for the fruit to be manifest in our life. And I'm going to discuss the first fruit, which is the love. We spoke about it before, but I'm going to speak from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gave to me, which is the first definition is love, and it means having unconditional love. You know, we have to walk in that God-type love, that agape love, that love that no matter how we feel, physically or emotionally, we ought to still reach out to our family members, our friends, our church family, strangers. Everyone we come across, God, they should see Jesus in us. They should see God's love and light in us. And we have to walk in that. We have to walk in that agape love. And that goes by, no matter how we feel, we still have to walk and remember that God has given us that agape love, and we have to reflect that. And we have to be obedient to God's commandments. We have to walk in kindness, you know, a disposition to do good, an act of kindness, you know, to be generous, you know, and charitable, you know, to reach out to anyone that needs to see God, anyone that needs to hear a word from God. You know, we have to, you know, we could be having an awful day ourselves, and we may come across somebody that's, you know, like in the mall or something, just for example, and you could tell that they're having a bad day, and you having a bad day. That's when you take the time to put your own issues to the side, and you reach out to that person, and, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you on what to tell that person, because you'd be surprised how people will be blessed by simply smiling to them, or simply saying hello, or simply saying God loves you, or simply saying God bless you. You know, so many people say God bless you, and I think it's so well known, it's almost like a cliche, but that is so powerful to tell someone, God bless you. That is like beyond what we say, because we use it so much, but it is powerful when you tell someone that, because you can make someone day by the simplest things. So we have to remember to put our own issues and our own ways to the side, whether we're in a good mood or bad mood. You know, whatever's going on in our lives, we have to walk in that agape love, that unconditional love with everyone around us, even strangers. And I'm going to go to 1 John 4, and I'm going to start at verse 7, which talks about loving one another. And it starts at 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. 11. Dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. His love has been brought to full expression through us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes, now testify that the Father sent his son to be the Savior of the world. All who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we know, and we have put our trust in him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence. Because we are like Christ here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is not for fear of judgment. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment. And this shows that his love has not been perfect in us. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. But if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. Amen. So I'm glad that verse 7 says, it talks about, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. It talks about to continue to love one another, for love comes from God. So if God lives in us and He in us and us in Him, we should reflect that. Like I said before, when people see us, they should see God in us. For anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Meaning you have a relationship with God. You take time in His Word. You take time to communicate with Him. You spend time with Him like you do a best friend, a spouse, a child. You know, He's our Father, you know, but we should have a relationship with Him. That means we should know Him. That means when we know Him, only thing that people will see is the God in us, and that love will reflect because we spend time in His presence and we spend time communing with Him and we spend time letting Him teach us how to be like Him. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love comes from God. It springs forth from our Father. He that loves his fellow man is born of God, meaning if we love our fellow brethren and sisters and believers in Christ and everyone around us, that is an example that we are born of God, that God lives in us. And he who does not love does not become acquainted with God, meaning you don't spend time with him and you don't have a relationship with him. And you never knew him. Amen.
Amen.
And in verse 1, it talks about how God showed how much he loved us by sending us his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him, which is Jesus Christ. Now, that is real love. He sent his only son. Just imagine, you know, when we sacrifice, we'll be able to sacrifice our kids for other people. That is like true love. And it is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Christ was the atonement for our sins, meaning because of Christ, we were made one with God. We were reconciled with God because of Christ. And God loved us so much that he gave his only son so we could be reconciled back to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about Genesis 3, which talks about how when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden and they were naked and they didn't realize until they ate of the tree that was forbidden by God. But before they did, they weren't aware of that. But because they went into sin by being disobedient to God, you know, they was aware of their nakedness and there was shame, you know. But God sacrificed an innocent animal to give them clothes to cover up their nakedness and their shame and their mistake that they made, which caused them to be aware, you know, that there was nakedness. And it just reminded me that just like God brought Jesus Christ for us, you know, to cover up our sins, to cleanse our sins, you know, he was innocent. Just like God sacrificed their innocent animals to cover up Adam and Eve's shameness, you know, God did the same for us with Jesus Christ. You know, every wrong mistake that we make, all the issues that we deal with, God gave us Jesus Christ to take care of that. All our sin, everything, God blessed us with Jesus Christ because he loved us enough. He cares about us enough to have a relationship with us. He sacrificed Jesus Christ for us. Our Father loves us so much that he sanctified for us to be saved and to walk in love with each other. And now that is real love. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
Heaven talks about, since God loves us so much, we are to show that same love, like I mentioned before, with each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love shows a reflection of us, and that we are brought to that love through full expression, meaning if we receive Jesus Christ and God lives in us, we will see, people will see the love in each other through the full expression through Jesus Christ through us. And 13 speaks of, he has given us his spirit, which is proof that we live in him and he in us. And the Spirit bear witness with us that the Father has sent the Son as our Savior, the Savior of the world. And if we confess and proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God, then he lives in us. We know that God loves us, and we have put our trust in him. God loves us and lives in us. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Meaning, today you may be dealing with the fact where you don't feel like you walk in love. But as we continue to communicate with God and spend time with God, his love will be made perfect in us. Day by day, we should be like Christ in this world. Just like Christ came and he went to everyone that needed to see him or needed to hear a word from him. Even, I'm sure Jesus was very tired. You know, he walked everywhere he had to go. So just imagine, we got cars and stuff. That's true love, because walking everywhere and then in sandals on hard, rocky roads and stuff, man, that is true love. The desire to see people set free and delivered and to just have a relationship with the lost, and that's true love. And we have to be mindful of, like, everything that Jesus went through for us to receive that love. Like I say, even when we don't feel like it, we still have to put ourselves to the side and reach out to those who need to hear from God, walking at agape love. We ought to be the light to the world, and we ought to love each other as a result of that, of him loving us first. We can say we love God and not have seen him, but we do not love our fellow brethren who we do not see, which says in the word that we are liars, basically saying, how can we say we love God and we haven't seen God, but the next person sitting next to us we don't love and we see them on a day-to-day basis? That's saying you're not walking in love, you're lying. That's what the word said. And that's verse 20. So we must love as God has commanded us to. He has charged us. He has ordered us. He has ordered us that we or to walk in that love, that agape love, that unconditional love. We shall do it according to the Holy Spirit, and we are to do it with enthusiasm and joy and peace and wanting to help someone, because that's what it's about. It's about reaching out and helping each other and seeing your fellow brother and our sister smile, overcome something that they're dealing with in their lives. You know, just to help someone is a blessing within itself, because it helps you forget what you're going through personally. Remember that the most important commandment is to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And also, which is equally important, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's walk in that unconditional love with each other as our Father has charged us to. Step by step, day by day, minute by minute, second by second, even when it's hard. Even if you don't like somebody, because the word says we are to love our enemies and pray for our enemies. Now, that's some true love. Let our good fruit show. Let us examine ourselves on a day-to-day basis and see that the fruit of love is growing in us day by day. And the more we demand our flesh to fall down and the Holy Spirit to rise up, meaning being submissive to the Holy Spirit, when we begin our day, the first thing that should come out of our mouth after we repent, Holy Spirit, I submit to you. Have your way in me. Lead me and guide me. And if you're submitting to the Holy Spirit day by day, your love is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Before you know it, when people will see you, they will see the glory of God on you. They will see that fruit in you. And they will say, I know she's been before God. I know he's been before God. Because it shows in them. On a day-to-day walk, they will see God in you. And that's true example of walking in God's love. And the next fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that's what I'm going to talk about next week. But joy means gladness, cheerfulness, a feeling of great pleasure, happiness, rejoicing, and just putting your cares to the side. You know, in the midst of having trials and tribulations, the Word says to count it all joy. That's easier said than done. When you have the Holy Spirit living in you and you have trust and faith in God to take care of every situation, that joy rises up and helps you to walk in that joy. That's why we have to constantly get in the Word and go before God for our strength. You know, that's where our strength comes from, praying and interceding for others. You know, when you put yourself to the side and you intercede for someone else, it's something about the peace and joy that you get when you finish praying. You're ready to continue going forth in the things that God has called you for. Because remember, Jesus Christ suffered for us to walk this day-to-day life. So everything that he has went, we have to remember, is nothing compared to what we're going through now. Like, he went through torture for us. Now with little day-by-day things that we deal with, we should count it all joy and remember that we're suffering for Christ. So let's remember to walk in love and ask God for that joy, and I will continue on joy on next week. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I just say, praise the living God. The fruit, F-R-U-I-T, the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. A great teaching, a great indication. So tonight I will say to you, tonight's the night that I say, I thank God for all that God has done tonight for us, from the starting of this radio to where we are right now. There is none like our God, and he's always there for us. The more we, as I said, the more we study, pray, and believe in God's word, the more God give us his word to see it. And God said, give me back my word. When we give the word back to God, there is an assurance that we have the love of God in us. And I say this, the lines are open. Anybody got a statement, a question, or something want to say? And I met a young lady tonight from Lawrenceville, Georgia. And she was on the line there, and I was talking with her. I talked to her once, and I thank God. And I know another lady from that same area, but the lines are open. Anyone got something to say? Do you still love me? I'm going to ask that question. Do you still love me? Hello, out there. Are you there? Hello? I guess the lines were dead tonight. Are we there?
Yeah, we still here. I mean, people are still here. I don't know what happened to the, I was hoping to hear from that lady.
Well, the lines are open. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About 7 lines are open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't like to try to put people on this. I've been told embarrassing them to say something, but I want to do that. But I want to say to the teacher tonight, all the 3 teachers, y'all did a great job teaching God's word. I got quiet. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sister Latrice. Woo, that was delicious. I tell you, that was good. Amen.
Is that
God
good?
Is the most important.
Amen. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
Love is the most important. It leads us to love our enemies.
Yes.
When we feel like we can't. I mean, that was a powerful word to make us think about our motives and the things that we're doing, that we're doing it out of love. And we do everything that we do because Christ is within us, and his light and his love should shine at all times. That
mm-hmm.
was a good reminder. That was a good
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, I would just say this from a standpoint. I know a lot of people are not into the government, but I always say this. The government sets a standard that we have to break it and put God's word front. When they know that they're trying to take the Social Security money See, we have to be aware of what's going on behind the scene, in the scene, and through the scene. The billionaires in America wants to be able to take that $64 trillion that the people have stored up over the years, those who have a Social Security pension. The billionaires want it to be given to them. They want to manage it. So you know what this is going to do? It's going to be just what it was first 8 years ago. This country almost went broke. And so there's a side on the other side. I call them rippers and dippers. We have to pray for the dippers also. Because the Republicans and the Democrats, we have to pray for them. We have to see, say, we have to love them. But we know that God is still in charge, but God has put us down there to do something. He said the violent take it by force, but he said they take it by force, but the violent, we got to get violent with the word of God. We got to take what belongs to us. And I was listening to Cliff Law. He said, take it. Take it.
Amen.
Well,
if
nobody ever
says,
amen.
Yes, sir. I wanted to also say that I appreciate that word from Reverend Love, you know, because we have to remember that this is a sensitive time where we have to pay attention, be watchful at all times, and pay attention to the people and places and that we go to and those that we receive words from, because we don't want to be in a place where we can be deceived. And staying in God's words and his presence will help us not to be deceived by the enemy. But he says in his word, his sheep know his voice, and the voice of the stranger they shall not follow. And the only way they'll know his voice is getting in his word and getting in his presence and finding him and learning him for ourselves. So we won't be deceived by the enemy.
Amen. And one thing I want to say, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. You can go ahead.
I was saying to us that there is a number that only one thing stands before God. That number is one. There's no number greater than one. Think about it. No number is greater than one. Because in order to get to another number, you got to have another one to make it two. Number is greater than one. It took one God, one salvation through Jesus Christ, and one Holy Spirit. And God is H-O-L-L-Y. God is pure love. And see, as I was reading the Bible, it said, while there is fear, love casted out fear. Praise the Lord. It casts it out. And see, the more we take God at his word, I'm saying what I know. I don't know what somebody else. And then there's a friend of mine that I've been praying with for a long, long time, Pastor Gregory Griffin. He's at KWWJ, and he's celebrating 63 years of ministry. And he's invited on. Amen. He's been in ministry that long. He's out there at KWWJ, but he's been a long friend of mine. And if whether or not you're my friend, I always say these words, there's none like God. There's none like God. And see, all of y'all are my friends. Y'all are my friends, and I thank God for y'all. Some of y'all are in the same space, and some of y'all are ever, but y'all are my friends. Y'all are my friends, and I thank God for y'all. I thank God. Why do I thank God for you? Because God has blessed us to move forward. No matter how we look at it, no matter how we look at it, God wants us to be blessed. I don't care what nobody else say. God has blessed us. I don't care how they look at it. To those of us who believe that we believe that we believe, God has blessed us. Amen.
Amen. I'm blessed.
Amen.
Anybody else have something to say? I'm gonna just take the night and take it to the next level. And I ask you to do one thing for me. Pray for me, and I pray for you. But remember, as Sister Love, I'll say, if you haven't voted, go out and vote. If you don't have a question, just go out and vote. Just say, I did my thing on the earth ring. I voted. I don't care what somebody will say, because you got to remember what I'm saying to you. And the only way that Israel was to break it out, got to send a person there with a strong arm. And it had to be Moses. Are you going to be the Moses of this hour? Are you going to go to Pharaoh and say, no, we're not going to take it? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the living God. Well, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you until we submit again next time.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes. I just wanted to say to all of everyone that spoke on tonight, keep on studying. Y'all did a great job. Be encouraged. Keep on studying that word. Keep on eating that word.
Amen.
God is working through you guys, touch a nation. So keep on, keep on, keeping on.
Amen.
Keep on spreading the love of God. So,
amen.
Amen. I pray restoration over y'all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, since you come on, Pastor, would you close out with prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the great teachings on tonight, Lord God. We thank you for everyone that's pouring out their spirits, Lord God, pouring out their love, Lord God, pouring out your word, Lord God. We thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask that you restore and renew their spirits, Lord God, on tonight, Lord God. Heavenly Father, anyone that hasn't received your spirit, Lord God, haven't received your salvation, Lord God, we pray that they receive you on tonight, Lord God, that you fill that void in their heart, Lord God, that only you can fill, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the radio that's out there reaching thousands, Lord God, millions. Lord God, letting them hear the word of God. We ask that you bless this radio station in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I thank
Lord.
I lift you up and I magnify your holy name on tonight. Amen.
Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. God bless.